Hey everyone, my name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I've interviewed entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. And a few weeks ago, today's guest sold his company. And one of the fascinating things to me about his company is that it was a dating company. I'm actually looking at Andrew Chen's blog right now, where he talks about why investors don't invest in dating companies. He's got this long blog post, but I'll sum up some of the points. He says it's got built-in churn, right? Dating sites, you match somebody, and of course they're going to leave because they're in a relationship. Dating has a small shelf life. Paid acquisition channels are expensive. City-by-city expansion, he says, sucks. It really is challenging. It's hard to exit. Demographic mismatch with investors. There are so many reasons why dating sites are tough to build and to grow and to make successful. And today's guest did all that. How did he do it? And how is he able to build something up and sell it? That's what I want to find out today. His name is Ludovic Uro, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his French name well enough. He is the founder of Attractive World, which is a French dating site that was acquired by Affinitas, a German company.
Yes.
Today, he's working on an app called Sharper, which I have access to right here. But you can see I have to wait 13 more hours before I get to go back into it. It's basically uses all the mechanics of dating, the stuff that you might expect from an app like Tinder, to match you up with people that you might want to network with and meet for coffee and do work with. And I'll ask him about both of those companies. And I get to do all this because of two great sponsors. The first will help you organize your books properly. Not help you. They'll do it for you. It's called Bench. The second one will actually get you the best developer or designer you've ever had. It's called TopTal. I'll tell you more about those later. First, Ludovic, welcome.
Thank you for the invitation.
What did you sell the company for?
Because I was running another company called Shaper, and I created my first venture called Attractive.
No, I mean, sorry. How much, I should say? How much did you sell it for?
Oh, we cannot talk about that. You know, I have a NDA with the seller.
Is it fair to say over $10 million?
Yes, we can say that.
We can say that. All right. Yeah. But you don't want to go any deeper than that.
No, I cannot talk about that.
Okay, fair enough. And I'll ask you later why you sold it. But I'm curious about how you got here. Before this, you were working at a private equity firm in Paris. What did you do there?
Yes, I was working in a LBO fund. And I was
leveraged buyout.
Leveraged buyouts. Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
As a kid, this is how geeky I was. As a kid, I wanted to do leveraged buyouts. The idea behind a leveraged buyout is you have a little bit of money, you borrow a whole lot more, and then you go and you buy a company, you turn it around, and then you sell it, and boom, right? You end up with this big windfall, and you get to go do it again and again and again.
Yes.
Lots of companies have
exactly.
Done
it. It was a good period. At the very beginning, I wanted to work in the sport industry, but I understood that it's a very, you know, tricky business. You really need to know a lot of different sport players if you want to succeed. So I decided to work in finance. And in France, LBO operation, people didn't know that in 2004, 2003. And so I started in this LBO fund. And, you know, I got a lot of responsibilities. I had carried interest. I was in a board of company with 100 of employees. So, you know, my mother was very proud of me. And I was getting money. I was very happy about that. But every week, I wanted to create a company, you know, and I had a new idea, and I was making my business plan. But afterwards, I didn't have the courage to make the leap and quit my job, you know, and so I had this, a lot of ideas.
And you kept telling your friends about them. In fact, you even had an idea that came to you when you were traveling that's similar to Airbnb, to what Airbnb is today. What was that idea?
It was a mix between Airbnb and Century 21, because when I was younger, I loved to travel around Europe, and I didn't want to go to hotel, so I booked apartments. But there was nothing at this time like Airbnb, so it was very difficult for us to find a very nice apartment with my friends. And I didn't think about it as an internet company, but more like, you know, Century 21, you know, it's an agency. It's like a broker.
The realtor.
Yes, exactly. We sell apartments. And I thought that it could be the same, but only for short time rent. So I wanted to work on that. But as I told you, I didn't have the courage to quit my job. And every week, every month, I was getting to my friend and say, okay, I have this new idea. And at the end of the day, they say, okay, forget it. We know that you won't have the courage to quit your job, to create your company. Otherwise, just let's do it and we will support you. And when they said that, it was the idea about Attractive World, the dating website I created in 2007.
I see. And so they finally said to you, look, you're never going to do this. So either do it or shut up about it. And you finally said, all right, this is the idea. I'm going to go with it. What attracted you to the idea of a dating site? I mean, it's pretty tough.
Yes, but you know, in 2007, there was only one dating website in France called Mythic. It's exactly like Match.com. And they were very profitable. They were public. I think they were making more than $100 million revenue in 2007. Mm-hmm. And there was no other dating website as a competitor. And I thought that the market was going to be segmented and probably that we will have a space in the premium dating. So that's why I created this website. And my friend invests at the very beginning of the company. But I didn't have any CTO. I didn't have any business partner who knows marketing. So I was very naive about that.
It was just you with some money from your friend. How much money did you raise the first time?
Oh, no, just the first time, you know, I invested $50,000.
$50,000,
and my friend invested $50,000 as well.
And by the way, you were in your early 20s. You were like 22 years old when you were working for the LBO firm. That just goes to show how great it is to start at an LBO firm, because you make good money, which sadly you had to give up, and your friends make good money, which means you have access to their wallets a little bit and to their intelligence and to their connections, which is fantastic. By the way, did you quit the job when you had this idea, when your friend finally told you, look, do this or don't, but don't keep talking about it? Did you at that point say, all right, I'm quitting the job at the LBO firm?
Yes, it's what I did. Yes,
it's without having any revenue, you just said, I'm going all in.
Yes, but you know, in France, it's a little bit easier because you know, you get 80% of your salary the next 24 months.
If you quit?
If you quit.
If you quit, not if you get fired. Yeah. If you just go in and say, I quit, you basically get a salary?
You make a deal with you know, your boss and you know, you have an agreement and you quit and you get money to help you to create your company.
Wait, is that if you quit for any reason or only if you quit to go start a new company?
It's a specific agreement that you can have with your employer. And it's like a severance of your contract that you both agree.
Okay.
And with that you can get support to create your company.
I see. That is unbelievable. I had no idea. All right. So now you have this money, you've got a salary coming into you. I don't understand now why more French people don't quit and go start companies. But you don't have technical ability. It's time to go and get somebody to build this for you. You don't have a CTO. Who did you go find to create the first version of the software for you?
I went to see some students, but I didn't know how difficult was the tech part, you know, of the job. So I made so many mistakes the first 2 years.
Just went to two students? Why two students?
Because I didn't know anybody in tech industry. Anybody. Okay. And I was not geek. I didn't know anything about, you know, tech and everything. You know, some of my friends, they were laughing at me when I told them that I wanted to create a website, because they told me that I even don't know how to have internet in my apartment. So
literally, so, you know, is that true?
Yes. I was not geek.
So because you could have it, I think even at that point, I'm pretty sure you could even at that point have just bought or licensed someone else's software and said, I'm just going to take software that already exists. I'll use it on my site and hire designers to make it look nice. But you didn't even know to do that.
No, I didn't even know to do that. And, you know, I was very naive about that. But I think that sometimes it's good because the way I thought, you know, the positioning and the way we launch Attractive World was very, very different from the other websites. You know, for example, when we started it, we didn't invest in marketing online, like on Google, for example. We hired 70 people who were walking in the Paris, the street of Paris, and said, okay, Attractive World is a new, very, very selective website. And they are selected their first 1,000 founder members. And so we made the launch offline, and it created a lot of buzz.
Meaning, so people would go in the streets of Paris and say, yes, there's a new dating site, you should go check it out.
Yes, and in the first months, you can only sign up. We didn't open the whole website, and you can sign up. And after 1 month, you will know if you are accepted as a founder member or not. And if you were accepted, it will be free for forever. So we had a lot of sign up through this marketing, you know, marketing. And we selected our first 1,000 members. Maybe we have 5,000 sign up. We selected 1,000, and we opened the website, and people were so happy, and they talk about that. And we have a lot of bloggers and journalists who wrote some article about Attractive World, and it's how we launched Attractive World.
Let me understand this a little bit better. These people who walked around and tried to solicit, were they like, when I came out of the train this morning, there was a man just handing out little leaflets about the local gym. Is it like that, where they were just handing out leaflets, or did you do something different?
They were going in a very trendy club, you know, very trendy place in Paris, and they had some black card with a business card with a secret code, and you had to enter the secret code to apply as a founder member.
And did they look good, the people who were walking around and handing those cards?
They were cool.
They were cool. Got it.
It was not about good looking. You know, we wanted to create a new lifestyle. You know, because in 2007, I don't know how was it in the US, but in France, dating was taboo. You know, people were not proud to say that they are on a dating website. So we wanted to make it more trendy, to help the dating to be more more cool.
Did you ever have any experience with a dating website before yours? I mean, did you date on one of these sites?
No, not at this time. But, you know, I had some friends who were working in finance, uh-huh, who did it. And they told me, you know, it's impossible to meet the right person on Mythic because there are so many people. You know, there are some people who are very urban lifestyle. Other people who want serious relationship. Other people who want just a one-night stand. So people have different lifestyle, different education, different expectation. So they told me that I should, you know, make something more serious for, you know, urban people.
I see. And when you had 5,000 people apply roughly and 1,000 get accepted, you're rejecting 80% of the people who want to be part of your network. Based on what? What did you use to figure out who the right people were?
It was just the beginning. So we wanted people who are very trendy, you know, influencers. So it's how we select them, and we were checking how complete was their profile, because we wanted people involved into the community. But you know, it was just the very beginning. Afterwards, when we launched the website, when we opened the website, it was the community which selected the new members. So it was not us as
Attractive World. Right. Afterwards, it was. Yeah. From what I understand, after this launch, if someone new wanted to apply to be a part of the network, they say they ask to be included, and then other members have to accept them. And only when they're accepted by other members can they then have opportunities to date people.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
and we have 35% of people who were accepted into the community.
So two out of three people were bumped, which actually caused you issues with your marketing, because you were spending a lot of money to acquire all three people when two of them were being rejected and only one was accepted. Let's go back to the software. Yeah. When you hired these students to create a dating site for you, did they do it? Did it work? How long did it take? Describe that process for me if you could.
It was 9 years ago, but I think it took maybe 4 months. But we had a lot of issues because you know the pages, it was maybe 10 seconds to get loaded, so the website was not scalable.
Let me highlight that 10 seconds for a page to load, which when we is insanely it. Slow. People move
it
on.
It was so slow. Oh yes, but people were more patient, you know, because you know it was not like now. you download an app, and if you don't like it, you delete it, and it's over. But 9 years ago in France, people were more patient about new services. So because the service was free at this time, they keep getting back to the website, even if it was not perfect.
All right. Let me continue, because you did overcome some of the challenges that we're talking about here and others, and some of the challenges that Andrew Chen brought up in his blog post. But first, I've got to tell people about a company called Bench. Bench is an accounting company. And let me tell you something, Ludwig. A few weeks ago, I was taking my 2-year-old son to just spend the day with him. And as we walked down the street, I saw one of these hipster movie theaters that had a game called Space Invaders. Do you know Space Invaders?
I don't really know.
It's like a game from the 1980s. I said, let's just go see this and introduce it to my kid. So I go in, I look at it. It's only a quarter to play. So I put a quarter into the machine. He plays it and he doesn't score a single point. So I show him how to do it and I hit the button and I shoot one of these aliens and I get 10 points. And then I give it to him, but he doesn't shoot anything. So I get it, the joystick back from him, and I shoot another alien. I get 10 points, then 10 points. And then I start to move him away slowly because I want to get more points up on the board. So this experience that I brought for him is now all about me for only one reason, Ludwig, because of the freaking points. Because every time I shot one of those aliens, I got another 10 points or another 50 points if they were up higher. So let me tell you why I'm telling you about this. Points are very, very captivating in games and very captivating in life. And in business, points are the revenue and the expenses and the dollars that you end up with at the end of the day. Now, we as entrepreneurs always need to keep an eye on our points. How are we scoring this week, this month, this year, compared to last week, last month, last year? Getting that kind of data takes forever in an entrepreneurial online world because there's so many different revenue sources, so many different expenses, and we have to either do them ourselves, which a lot of entrepreneurs do, or many people will then go hire a virtual assistant and say, enter this into my accounting software, which then means that they're not equipped for it, so they make mistakes. Or people will then go and hire an individual bookkeeper and say, I want you to do my books the way you do other people's books, which is a problem because you're trusting one person who may be sick one week or who may take their eye off the ball or make a mistake, etc. So the answer to not have those mistakes and not have those headaches but still get the points that drive us as entrepreneurs is to use Bench. And the reason I like Bench, do you know Bench, Ludwig?
No, I didn't know that.
They're a newish company, raise a lot of money, making a lot of impact in the startup world, because what they do is they use software and people to get people's accounting done right. Software will go suck in the data from Stripe, suck in the revenue data from PayPal, get bank account information from Citibank or Chase or whoever you happen to be with, put it all together with your credit card information, your other expenses. The software sucks the data in, starts to sort it out, but human beings will actually go in and make sure it's all correct. And if one of those human beings is sick, no problem. There's a whole team of people at Bench. And if one of those human beings happens to make a mistake, no problem. There's a whole team to look it over and make sure that our points are always kept track of. Now, what you want is an outside person to do this, someone who's not trying to hit a certain number. I know when I want to see that we've made good money this month, I might overlook an expense or I might not pay attention to this or that. When you have an outside company do it, they don't overlook those because they're not as invested. They just want to do the right job and get it done right. And that's why I recommend people go check out Bench. There's a special URL that they created for us to give us a discount on their pricing. It's called, and if you're listening to me, you got to write this down. You're going to need this at some point. Your friends will need it. It's bench.co/mixerg. All the startups now don't have time for the .com. It's got to be .co. bench.co/mixerg. You'll get a big discount. You get to use this software that comes with humans who actually will do the work for you and do it right. There's a reason why two Mixergy interviewees have praised them, Jason Fried and Patrick McKenzie, because they do a great job and they have an elegant design that makes sure that you know your numbers when you need them. Go check out bench.co/mixerg. All right, you launch the site. It's up and running. Frankly, 4 months is not that bad. 10 seconds is a pain, but you're just getting going and things are doing okay. People get in there. they like it at first. How do you know that it's working? How do you know that the matches are working out the way you imagine?
It was working because we got a lot of word of mouth, and because people stayed on the website very long. They stayed like 30 minutes every day, you know? So we knew that they liked it. And you know, the concept of Attractive World is that you need to get accepted by the community to use the website. And after, there are a lot of events organized by the community as well, you know. So it's more than a dating website. It's also a community of single people. And there was there were a lot of events organized by the community. Like the first month, maybe 30, 50 events every month organized by the members.
Wait, so we knew they would do single events on their own?
Yes.
And they would, without you suggesting it, or did
without, you? No, without me.
Because they were all, what communication tool did they use to chat and think up these ideas?
They just had a calendar page on the website, and they could, you know, create their own events and communicate on the events. And it was working very well.
What did your chat look like at the time to enable this kind of conversation? Was it a message board or was it a live chat or what?
Yes, it was a message board.
Message board. So in addition to a dating profile, I could also see a message board.
Yes.
And from what I understand, new members who applied but hadn't yet been accepted by the community into the dating site couldn't go to these events. Am I right?
No, they could go. They could not go to the website. You know, you finished your application and we say, okay, come back in 3 days and we will give you the answer.
I see. I see.
It was crazy. You know, that's why I think that somehow it was good that I didn't know anything about internet, because when you know internet, you cannot create this kind of concept. You know, 15 minutes to sign up. After all, you have to wait for 3 days to get accepted or not into the community. And after, people have to pay, you know. Because it was crazy, you know, and people who knew internet told me that, Ludovic, you are crazy. You refuse 65% of your potential customers. You are totally crazy. And plus, you want to make people pay very, very high fee. And that's why, you know, when you know internet, you cannot start like that.
What was the incentive for a member to go through the applications and decide whether someone should be allowed into the community? Why would they do that?
It's interesting as an applicant, because you know that the people that you're going to meet, you know, will be involved and, you know, will be, you know, very interesting people. And your interest to vote for the new people is that when you vote, for example, I am a woman and I vote for you, you know, I know that you will talk to me first, you know, because you will know that I voted for you.
I see. So they see who voted for them afterwards.
Yes, yes.
Got it.
And when you are accepted, you send a message to every people who voted for you. So you start the conversation the first day with a lot of different people who voted for you. And so when people vote, it creates a lot of interaction on the website.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. I see it. Pricing, you mentioned after this application, not only did they have to apply, you said it took 3 minutes to apply. They had to wait 3 days before people accepted them. And in addition to that, they had to pay. How did you figure out what to charge?
It was just feeling. We knew that Mythic, you know, the website I was talking about, like match.com, it was €30 for 1 month. So we said, because we are more premium, it will be €60 for 1 month.
So if we're better than them, then we have to charge more than them.
Yes, and it worked very well. It worked very well. We had 35% of people who get accepted by the community who paid, you know. So the conversion rate was very high, and the lifetime value was very high as well. So when we after 2 years, the first 2 years was the website was free. So I raised money, you know. It was not easy because a lot of potential investors was very scared about this business model. But I raised money with private investors. I raised 1.5 million euros the first 2 years, and after we make people pay, and we saw that the conversion rate was very good. So I raised more money with private investors, and they also told me that I was crazy, because with this money, I told them, now I want to invest on TV.
Television? You
know? Yes.
Wait, before we get into that, the first way that you got people in was actually just streets. street team. The second way, did you start to buy online ads before you got into television? You did.
Yes, we did.
And how did those online ads work for you?
It was good, you know, but the volume was not very important. No, it was.
You mean you weren't getting enough people?
Yes, it was difficult to attract a lot of people through online ads, you know, and we knew that the business model could work because we were seeing the conversion rates and they were very good and the churn was very low and we had a very good lifetime value, but it was difficult for us to grow very fast. That's why
that's essentially what Andrew Chen was saying in that post, that it's just too expensive to buy ads online and to get enough people to come in. The other thing that he said was investors are not the right demographic. One of the things I notice is that if investors don't get the space because they don't live in it, they don't understand why anyone else would get it and they don't want to put money into it. And some of the famous examples of that are have to do with Snapchat. A lot of investors didn't use Snapchat, didn't get why someone would use Snapchat. And so they said, I passed on it and it was a mistake. How did you find the right investors? What was the challenge involved in telling an investor, dude, put money up in this idea that you don't fully participate in and trust me that I will then use this money for television, which I don't know well. What was that process?
I always did it through my network, you know.
Always your network. So it was always going back to these LBO friends?
Yes, it started with the LBO friends, you know, people in private equity. And then, you know, I love to meet people, you know, it's what I prefer in my life. It's to meet people. Probably that since I am an entrepreneur, I meet like one people every week.
Every single week. Let's talk about that. This is something that you knew, you told our producer since you were a kid, that you loved meeting people to learn from them. Why did you do it? And as a kid, how did you do it?
It's just because I am very curious and I think that the best way to learn is to meet people. You know, when you meet people and you feel inspired and you learn a lot, it creates a lot of opportunities. And most of the time, these people become your friends. And it's what I did, you know, since I am an entrepreneur. And it created a lot of good things in my professional life, but also in my personal life. And it's how I raised the money with Attractive World. We raised 5.3 million euros only with private people.
Can you give me an example of someone who you met because you love to meet new people who then ended up investing? Someone who's a little bit different from the usual investor story.
Yes. For example, I met a guy. His name is George Christostalis. He's a Greek guy. And he's 70 years old. You know, and we spent probably 1 hour and a half. It was through an introduction. And we spent 1 hour and a half to talk about, you know, branding, marketing, etc. But George didn't know anything about internet, you know. And we talked about that. And it was the first fundraising of Attractive World. It was in 2008. And he was not very, you know, he didn't feel secure to invest in this kind of company. And at the end of the day, he told me, okay, I will invest 20,000 euros. You know, I think that I will lose it, but it's like an MBA. I will understand how startup works, you know.
Yes.
And George invested in all the fundraising that I did with Attractive World and with Shaper. He invested, I think, 500,000 euros at the end, you know, between Attractive World and Shaper, and invested in all the fundraising. And George became the guy who bought the TV advertising for us, you know, and to invest in TV was the best decision we ever made.
Did he have the experience in television?
Yes, it was his business.
Ah, I see. Yes. So you were teaching him about startups and investing in them, and he was then introducing you to television advertising, which then shaped everything. And we don't think about television advertising as online entrepreneurs. Let's get into that in 1 minute. I just want to say, I want to tell people about my second sponsor, which is a company called TopTal. For years, I've been telling people about TopTal being the place to go hire a great developer. But yesterday, I talked to this guy, Raj, whose company was acquired by TopTal. And what he did was, he's British. He's an MBA. He was an MBA student who then was hired by a management consulting company to go to major companies, giant Fortune 500 companies, to advise them on where they should change their companies, how they should think about pricing, how they should think about the future. And when he left that company, people would then say, you know what, can I hire you? Can I hire your friends to come and do this for me, for my smaller company? And so he would then go work for these smaller companies and advise them on the direction of their company and advise them on how to organize their financials and advise them on how to raise more money and so on. And the same thing would happen with his friends. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to start a company. I'm going to get the best of these guys who work at management consulting and just have them in my network. And when somebody needs to understand, how should we do pricing on our company? What should we change about the way we structure our company? How can we create our financials? In fact, how do we hire someone who will create our financials? Those people could go to Raj's company and Raj will introduce them to these experts, to these people who are management consultants, and they will then hire them on a project basis. Anyway, Raj got bought out by TopTal. And so now anyone who's listening to me who wants to hire someone to help them think about pricing, like you were, in a place where you just said, you know what, I'll double the price of my biggest competitor. But maybe tripling would have been better. Maybe there's a way to figure out what the right price is. So these guys can help you think that through. You're doing your financials to show your investors. Well, maybe you as an entrepreneur shouldn't spend time doing your financials for investors. Maybe you can go to TopTal and hire one of their MBAs, one of their management consultants, to do the financials for you, to create your pitch deck for you so you can explain your business right without having to spend hours on the financials and living in spreadsheets. That's the idea behind TopTal's new financial department. They built it fast because they bought Raj's company. And now anyone who's listening to me can go hire someone who will do their financials, who will help them think through their business, who will help them organize it the way that they were able to hire someone to code for them or design for them. All right. If you want to know more about this, go to toptal.com/Mixergy, where you can hire someone to do your coding, where you can hire somebody to design your company, and now where you can hire someone to handle the financials and the management structure of your business. You can go there. If you want more information, one of the first things they'll do at TopTal is get you on the phone with a human being where you can talk about your needs and figure out if TopTal's right for you. And by using the special URL, you're going to get 80 free hours of TopTal credit when you pay for your first 80 hours, and you'll get a guarantee of up to 2 weeks that you are 100% satisfied. Here's the special URL, toptal.com/Mixergy, toptal.com/Mixergy. Ludwig, great company. You ever heard of them before?
No.
All right, good.
But it could be very helpful.
I love that I get to introduce people like you to them. So let's talk about this television advertising. It feels expensive because you have a lot of production costs to get your first ad up and running. It seems like you have to buy a lot to get going with it. You can't adjust as fast as you could with, say, a Facebook ad or a Google ad. How did you make it work?
It's so impactful that it works. You know, you need to take some risk because when you are a small startup, as what we were in 2011. It was a big risk, but we invested around 150,000 euro,
okay.
and it worked so well, you know, because we had the same acquisition cost as on Facebook, but the brand awareness was growing very, very fast, you know. So of course, it was a big investment, but we had so many traffic, you know. We worked a lot on the best way to track it, you know. So we knew how many people signed up right after the TV spot, and we saw that it was working very, very well. We got a lot of traffic and the website.
So
was
the way you would do
fast.
It is you'd say, we know that our ad is going to run at 10 p.m. How many new orders did we get at 10 p.m.? That's roughly how many new people came because of the ad. Great. Now we can see if we could, but then if you didn't get enough, how do you adjust? You can't go back and reshoot your commercial, can you?
No, but you can adjust your media planning. So you, of course, it's a big risk, you know, when about the creative, because you cannot rework on the creative easily. But your media planning every week can change.
Meaning so, the time of day that you go for the show that you're on, the channel you're on.
What kind of show, what kind of channel, what time?
Okay.
You know, so you can work on that, and so we were seeing, you know, how many sign up after the commercial, what kind of people were signing up, how old were they well educated, etc. And based on these stats, we were working on the new media planning every week. And it was working very well because at this time, there was only one dating website which advertised. It was Metic. So we were the number two. And the brand awareness, which is the most important thing in dating business, it's all about the brand, was growing very, very fast. And from 2011 to 2013, we went from 8% of brand awareness to 71% of brand awareness in France.
71% brand awareness.
In 2013, yes. Now we have 91% of brand awareness.
That means that 9 out of 10 people know your brand.
Yes, in France, yes.
And that's something that only television can do.
Yes.
Because even someone who's not buying, not clicking, not even checking out your website, at least has heard about the company.
Yes, of course. And we advertise almost every day on TV. Almost every day, because we knew that it was working and that the brand awareness was stronger and stronger. And after, you have a lot of positive impact because all the journalists call you. Because when they want to work to make something on dating, they saw you, they watch your TV ad,
so they
and they say, okay, so I need to talk to attractive old guy, and so we had a lot of coverage from the media.
What tips can you give us about how to do television advertising right for a tech startup?
I think that you need to invest a minimum of 100K. Otherwise, you know, it's too small and you cannot see if it works or not. And a lot of startups try to do that. They try to make a very small, very low cost TV spot. And they invest like 20K and they say it doesn't work. So I stopped. It's better to invest on Facebook or Google. Mm-hmm. But it's a big mistake. You cannot be in the middle. You need to really invest to make sure that it works or not. So it's the first thing I will do is that. And after you really need to invest in the creative, because the creative can really change the performance of your investment. It can be 50% higher or 50% lower, depending on the commercials. So you really need to invest and take time to think about the creative. And to work on that, and otherwise you have to work on the tracking system, because you cannot just do it and say, okay, we will see. You really need to work on the
how
system
do you track
sure.
it. I remember interviewing the founder of Carbonite, and he said because of the kinds of ads he bought, he had to know specifically what time of day did the ads run, but also in what market did they run. And then he had software that told him if it ran in Chicago, we also have to tie it back to how many new orders we got from Chicago. Otherwise, we make a big mistake in our media planning. So yes. What did you do? What was your process?
Yes, it was kind of the same process. We had a software that we developed in-house to help us to track the people who don't come from the online marketing. Mm-hmm. And we sign up, you know, in the 5 minutes following the TV commercials. Mm-hmm. And after, because people were signing up, we knew how old were they. And what are their education, you know? And we knew that if people were more than 30 years old and well educated, the probability that they convert into a subscriber was very high. So we exactly knew how much we can spend to get this kind of people. And if we didn't have the right pricing, we change the media planning, and if it was working, we keep investing in this channel or in this show.
I see. Earlier, we talked about how you started out by having two students develop your website. That didn't really go so well. Obviously, the 10-second wait time is one indication of it, but there were other issues. You then decided, you know what, I need another solution, and you started hiring people from, was it Tunisia?
Yes.
It was one person from Tunisia, actually, in 2008. Talk about that process.
After the students, we were working with a very good, you know, developer, and he was from Tunisia, and you know, it was a very good guy. And he told me, okay, we need to restart the website from zero. So I suggest you that I come back to Tunisia and I create a team of developers. And we will redo the website, the whole website. And it was in May 2008, and he told me that by the end of September 2008, everything will be okay, and we will have a very strong platform to build on. And finally, the website was not ready at the end of 2008.
Okay.
So I was in Tunisia between Christmas and New Year's Eve to test it because I was very worried, and it was a very difficult time because of the crisis, you know, because of Lehman Brothers, subprime, etc. So it was very difficult for me to raise more money, and it was the worst, you know, time for Attractive World. We were very close to be over because we didn't have a platform which was working. It was very difficult for me to raise money. And in Tunisia, we didn't have the new website, so we could not, you know, have a paying model. So the end of 2008 was very, very tough. And I was lucky because I met our CTO at the very beginning of 2009, and he saved my life, you know. He saved the company. He told me, okay, Ludovic, now it's very difficult for you, but I'm gonna come to the company and I'm gonna help you to rework on the new website. And I promise you that by the end of summer 2009, you can make the subscription model on. And he did it.
How did you find the CTO?
Luck.
More of you just getting to know a lot of people and networking with them.
Yes, no. The way I found the CTO was because of a crazy mistake I did. You know, I made a lot of mistakes. But I wanted to sell advertising on Attractive World in 2008, which was crazy because we didn't reach the critical size and it was not the right timing to hire salespeople to sell our advertising. But it's what I did. And I hired a very, very good, you know, the head of sales of a very, very important company in France. And she joined the team, but she understood that she could not work at Attractive World because we didn't have the size to sell advertising. But before she left, she introduced me to my CTO. So this mistake make me a very happy man because otherwise I won't have met my CTO. His name is Cyril Ferret.
You know, you mentioned earlier, you started talking about why you sold the company. I feel like you were doing great. 90%, 91% awareness. Was it profitable?
Very profitable.
Very yes. Profitable.
In 2013, we started to be profitable. And in 2016, we made more than 15% net profit. And since 2014, we distributed dividends. Yes, we distributed $4
million. How profitable are we talking about? How much money were you guys making every year?
Around $1.5 million.
Get out! Profit.
Yeah.
For a guy who didn't know how to set up his internet at home, who didn't have any friends who could help him with the development, who had to hire two students to go create a site that was really slow.
Yes.
So then why sell it? You started saying it as the answer to my first question. Let's come back to that now. Why did you sell it, considering all that?
Because I was working on a new project called Shaper, and now Shaper is growing very fast, and I raised $7 million. It's growing very fast in the US.
So why start a new project? Why not say, you know what, this thing is going great, I'm a hit in the dating world?
Because what happened is that in 2013, the website was very famous in France. We were profitable, you know. And I wanted to expand in the US because, you know, as an entrepreneur, my dream was to move to the US, you know, and expand in the US. And I didn't raise the money to go to the US. The VC, the French VC, didn't want to invest in a company who go to the US because they were very scared. And the US VC were very scared to invest in a French company. So unfortunately, it was a big failure for me, you know. And it was very tough for my ego because you know, it was my biggest failure as an entrepreneur at this time. And so I thought that, okay, maybe I cannot launch Attractive World in the US, but my next company, I will start it from the US. So in 2013, we became profitable and I hired a CEO. She was the head of product at Yahoo in Europe. And she managed, you know, the day-to-day operation. I was still the main shareholder and the chairman. And I moved to New York to launch Shaper, my new company. And we started to distribute dividend. We distributed between $1 and $1.5 million every year of dividends.
That's unbelievable. So then you clearly sold for more than $10 million. No wonder when I said more than $10 million, you said yes, very fast, even though you don't want to get specific.
Yes, I cannot talk about that.
And no, it's more than just the money. I mean, the relationships that were formed because of it. Can you talk about your dad? What happened to your dad?
Yes. you know everything.
Yeah, I like good research.
Yes. You know, I always had a very, very difficult relationship with my dad. You know, my parents broke up when I was one year old. And and it was very difficult to have a good relationship with my dad. And when I quit my job to create Attractive World, he really didn't understand it, you know, because he was not in tech and he was not very close to the entrepreneur mindset. So we had difficult relationship. And in 2014, my dad became single.
He became single again?
Yes, he became single again, yes. Because when he broke up after he was with another woman, etc. But he became single again in 2014. And he watched a TV advertising about Attractive World. And he told me that it was like late in the night, maybe at 11 p.m., something like this. And he signed up. Not because of me, because of the TV advertising.
Says a lot about television.
And he used a lot Attractive World in 2014 and 2015. And he met his fiancée through Attractive World.
Wow.
And since that, our relationships changed a lot. You know, now we are much more closer, and he really understood why I worked so much these last 9 years. And now we are more closer.
Wow, that feels fantastic. To have your dad even understand what you do is a gift. Frankly, I've been in the internet, tech world, entrepreneurship world my whole life. My dad doesn't get it. Never understood it. I told him I did online greeting cards. He said, greeting what now? How do you do it online? And I told him I'm doing this. He doesn't fully get it. So now Shaper. Shaper is this app. Let me describe it. First of all, you log in using LinkedIn. I like that you don't force me to put in my LinkedIn password, because I can never freaking remember that thing. You just take me into the app and then I come back in, and then you take my photo from LinkedIn, you take my information, I get to edit a little bit, and then I have a profile. And then what I see is a card representing people whose interests align with mine. Not relationship interests, but business interests align with mine. If I like them, I think I swipe to the right. If I want to start a conversation, if it's not a good fit, I swipe to the left. And then if it's a match, we both think that we want to talk to each other, we can chat. And if we want to, ideally, we could go out for coffee and maybe start doing some business together. Am I right?
Exactly.
And the business model for it is what? I don't think I was charged.
No. So far, we are focusing on the user experience, the algorithm, and we want to grow the community. Because our vision is that now networking is boring, and Shaper mission is to make networking more inspiring and more seamless. So we are working on the user experience. You don't have to make proactive search. You don't have to solicit people. You just have every day your daily dose of inspiring people. You swipe just 1 minute. And if both are interested, you can grab a coffee. So it's very, very easy, very simple. But for that, we need to be very, very relevant in the suggestion that we do every day. And so we are working a lot on the data. We are working a lot with a very famous mathematician in France to retrieve the most relevant data, you know, from all your social network to understand, you know, what kind of people you should meet or you're interesting to meet. And then we suggest you these people. And when you swipe, the algorithm learn, you know, every day, to improve the suggestion that you have.
What about this, though? When it comes to a dating site, I understand the draw. If you are single and you keep going out and you're not meeting anyone, you're desperate to find a better solution. And if someone comes up with a website that has a 10-second launch, it doesn't matter, because you're desperate to find someone. With this, I'm not sure what the desperation is. It's interesting for me to go to Shaper and maybe meet someone to talk to, but I don't see that you're addressing a desperate need of mine versus something like even, I can't remember that site, which would hook me up with what was that website? Hang on, I'm going to find it. Hang on. Startups.co. Come on, scroll to the very bottom where they list what they owe.
You know what? I'm going to give you some example. You know.
Oh, here it is. It's Clarity. Sorry. With Clarity, if I need to understand how to do my SEO better, I can go to Clarity and I can say, give me someone who knows SEO and can solve this problem for me so I can get on a call with them. Yeah. I feel like Shaper isn't hitting that desperation yet.
Yes, but you know, 10 years ago, people didn't want to go to dating websites. They thought it was for losers. So things change, you know. And you know, the first one I learned when I moved to New York, it was serendipity, you know. And Shaper accelerates your serendipity. And it's the story of my life, you know. And I know the power of a network. I know how important it is when you want to raise money as an entrepreneur, when you want to find a job. Did you know that in the US, 70% of the jobs are found through networking? 70%. More than
everything else. But that's the thing, that if you told me, look, this could lead to a job, then I could see someone who's feeling urgent enough to get it. If you even said to me, look, Andrew, I know what you probably need is, instead of network with people, but find the people who can solve your problems, that would be more interesting. Like, for example, and I hate to like turn this down because I freaking love the design. I'll talk in a moment about what I love about it. But if you were to say to me, for example, find the perfect expert in whatever, if I had an issue with search engine optimization and you showed me a bunch of cards and I could kind of flip through the ones who seem interesting and then chat with them.
But it's not the mindset that we want to have.
We think,
for example, LinkedIn is a very good tool, but it's very transactional. Every day I get some message from someone who wants to sell some software or to sell some SEO, etc.
I do too.
Shaper is to get inspired. You know, for example, when I moved to New York, I didn't know anybody. I knew some French entrepreneur, but I wanted to meet American people. And I love tech, but I love sport. I love music. And I met so amazing people, you know, in music industry. I met a very, very cool producer in sport. I met some athletes. In tech, I met some very, very brilliant entrepreneurs. And you know, to me, life is like that. You know, if you just use it as a lifestyle, for example, I don't like to make exercise, but I do it because I know that it's good for me. I also do meditation because I know that it's good for me. And I really think that networking should be a very, very healthy habit because it creates a lot of opportunity in your life. And it will be very good for freelance people because when you are freelance, you need to get connected for business, but also to interact socially. It will be good for people who travel for business. It will be good for people who just moved to a new city. Or when you are an entrepreneur and you start your company, you need to connect, you know, with founders, co-founders, with investors, etc. So you have a lot of different people who will be interesting to go on Shaper. And what we saw is that we have a huge traction, you know, a huge traction that I ever saw with Attractive World. You know, last month, for example, we made 100% most of our months compared to October.
100%.
And it's growing very, very fast. Yes.
You made 100% what?
Of growth, of new signup.
Oh, I see. So how many signups do you have now?
We have between 1,000 and 1,500 new signup every day.
And is that partly because if there's someone in my network or extended network who's not on Shaper but is on LinkedIn, you then send them a message saying
No, we don't do that.
So there's no viral growth.
No viral growth. It's word of mouth because we have a lot of active people who meet very cool people on Shaper and they talk about that. And we have a lot of people who wrote about Shaper in France, in the US, in London, and it's mostly word of mouth.
So one of the things that I like, I just love the design of it. It's really easy to fill out a form with my profile and everything, which is always the big drawback. But also I like how the very first person that I could swipe on happens to work for your company. So if I want to just test things out, I think she works for the company, right? What's her name, Mandy?
Yes, Mandy. She's very cool.
She works for the company, so who cares if I send the wrong thing? I just want to see how it works so I could send her a message and we can match up and maybe we can talk and I understand how it works. I also like how it's intuitive. It doesn't need any explanation. But when I do something in the slow way and there's a faster way to do it, like if I hit the button to connect but there's a faster way I could just swipe, it says, hey, by the way, a little tip comes up and says you can just swipe over to the side and it's easier. It's just very, very cared for app. I really love apps that have that kind of design. But
thank you very much.
The serendipity, it just gets me. I feel like if you were pushing a specific benefit like you did here, an urgent need, then more people would discover it. But I could be wrong.
Yes, but it will be just more transactional. And I really
and
feel
you don't
that...
want the transactional. Look, I actually see your face when you can say more transactional. You are pained that
I love a book of Adam Grant called Give and Take, you know?
Yes.
And it's all about that. We want to be a community of giver, you know? You just don't go to Shaper only because you need to sell something or because you need someone, because it's not how it works in life. In life, it works when you create a very authentic relationship first. Once you did that, you have a lot of business opportunities. And it's the best investment you can do, you know? So maybe some people don't understand it yet, but when they will see that people on Shaper have a lot of opportunity who comes organically because they create the relationship first and then think about business and opportunities, they will see that it's a very, very good investment.
You know what I would love is for something like this to be available to the Mixergy community, because I know the people in my community want to meet each other, but they don't want to get to know every single person. If they had that in common, if I could just say, here's Shaper, just for the Mixergy people, go connect up, that would be really exciting.
You know that we are working on this for the next the first half of 2017.
So you I know? Might be able so to if, say, if you're a Mixergy member, you can join this and get to know other Mixergy members. And if you're an interviewee, you will add you in here too. And you guys all get to meet each other only if you want to.
Yes, you could have, you know, like a code to tell us that you are in the Mixology community. And every day in your batch of 10 people to meet, you will have maybe 2 people from the Mixology community.
I see.
And we will do it for the alumni community as well. So if you are in Stanford, you will have maybe 2 people from Stanford in your batch as well, you know.
Why not
so
only the batch, only Mixergy?
People will decide it, but we really think that we need to mix, you know. You want to meet people in Mixology, you want to meet people in from Stanford, but you also want to meet people from Shaper because you have common interests.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I like it. I think it's early days with Shaper. I think that I was hesitant to download another app because I feel like there's just too many freaking apps on my phone and when I never get to it. And then I downloaded it because I wanted to see what you're up to. And as I said, I just really like the intuitive onboarding, the simple app, the functionality of it. I like the experience of it a lot. I feel like you guys must have spent a lot on that, a lot of money to it, to do it, a lot of time on it, and it shows. And I wish I could copy it for Mixergy, but it's obviously way different from what we're doing. I just love it so much. Even like the fact that I have to wait. Look at this. I got the timer up on my screen. I have to wait another 12 hours and 52 minutes before I get my next batch of suggestions.
Yes, because as I told you, we want to make it as a healthy habit, you know. So we don't think that you have to swipe 100 people the same day. You swipe 10 people every day, so you come back, and that way the engagement on the app is much higher than the other app.
All right. It's Shaper, S-H-A-P-R, available Android and iPhone app stores. And so proud to have you on here. Congratulations on your success with the first company and now the growth of the second business.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you all for being a part of it. And of course, my two sponsors, the company that will do your books for you and give you your points on a weekly, daily basis. It's called Bench. Check them out at bench.co/Mixergy. And second is a company that will help you find your best developer and your best designer, and now your best finance person for your company on a project-by-project basis, on a day-by-day basis, or long-term connections with them. You can go hire those freelancers at toptal.com/Mixergy. Top is on top of the mountain. Tal is in talent. They want to get the best talent. toptal.com/Mixergy. And thank you all for being a part of Mixergy. Bye, everyone.